Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
The 1970s were incredible years in my life. So many things happened in the 1970s. I graduated from high school, went to college for a year, married my darling wife. Many of you can agree, one of the best things that ever happened to me. Be careful now. And then shortly after I married her, I went into the Navy. Was in the exact amount of time that I needed to finish getting my school paid for. Came out, went back to school, got my degree, and left for Louisville, Kentucky to open our first church in Louisville, Kentucky. Stayed there for about a year, closed the church, sold the building. When I was done with it, I mean, it was finished. And we took our second pastorate, which was in Louisville, Kentucky, in Madison, Indiana. And really saw the blessings of the Lord. My prayer had always been that by the time I was 30 years old, that I would be pastoring a successful church. And God answered that prayer. We were truly blessed in Madison and saw God move there during that period of time. And when I celebrated my 30th birthday at the end of the 1970s, God had answered that prayer. So I always praise the Lord for the 1970s. Good years. As you saw on the screen this morning, they were troubling years, losing a president, vice president to scandals, Vietnam War, all kinds of things happening. And yet, you know, as I was sitting in my office thinking about this, I thought at the same time, and perhaps it was because of our lives wrapped in the cloak of the work of the Lord, but to me, the 1970s were hopeful years. Vietnam War ending and all of that, though you could not see some of the things happening, there was still a great deal of hope as the 70s came to a close that better things were on the way. And kind of out of that, and just by the moving of the Holy Spirit, I believe, I want to talk to you for just a couple of minutes about hope. I'm realizing how desperate that our country and our world is today for hope. I was listening to an interview this past week of some individuals down in Alabama, and they were, by their own admission, Democrats. But they were talking about the reason why that they had voted for Donald Trump, a Republican. And, you know, as they were talking, they were steel workers who had lost their jobs actually to automation rather than to the jobs going someplace else. But after 30-some years, both of these men that they interviewed had lost their positions. And they say, you know, we don't We didn't know what to do with ourselves. We still don't know what to do with ourselves. The one man said, I have been planning for my whole career to be able to pay for my children's college. And now I'm standing with no job, and they're telling me that I can go back to school. He was in his late 50s. I can go back to school, and I can retrain to start a whole different career. And he said, I don't know that I can do that at this age. So it really was, you could hear his heart, even over the radio, I could hear his heart. The man was just kind of dripping with agony. And then the commentator said, well then what brought you to vote for President Trump? He said that things could be the way they used to be. That things could be better. Well, there's a member of the House of Representatives. She also was a Democrat. And she spoke up and she began to run kind of the litany of all of the, you've heard it, you know what I'm talking about, just kind of all of the Democratic position against President Trump. And one of the men interrupted her and said, yeah, but none of that matters. He said, my situation, I'm in a mess and I don't know what to do. And he said, he's given some possibility. You know, and as I sat there and I knew where the Lord was taking me this morning, I thought, you know, he's looking and grasping for hope. He's grasping for some hope because you see, without hope, we don't have anything to hang on to. Someone wrote back in the 1700s, hope encourages men to endure and attempt everything. In depriving them of it, or in making it too distant, you deprive them of their very soul. I find that in our need, in our necessity, if you will, for hope, that we will look beyond reason. We will look beyond common sense. We will look beyond everything that we know and have accumulated in our lifetimes, searching and reaching for that word of hope that we can hang on to then build upon our next steps. I believe, and I say it again, I believe there is a desperation today in our country and in our world for hope. Now, without a doubt, you know, we can see that. And if you hear the testimonies of the refugees, those who are running from wars and famines and struggles around the world, they're not running for the fun of it. They're running because someone told them that there is a place that is better than the place where they've been living. I hope you realize this morning that we are dramatically sheltered. Even with all the news that we have pouring over us constantly, we are sheltered from the reality that most of the world live in. I also heard an interview of a couple of young men in Russia. There is scheduled, I don't know if it's today or tomorrow, a huge protest against the government in Moscow. And these two young men were being interviewed and asked, if you will you protest? And one young man said, I will not say one way or the other. And he said, well, you know, he asked him first, what was your name? He said, well, I'd rather not tell you. And the other young man spoke up and said, I'll tell you my name. And he gave him his first name, and the commentator said, you don't have to give me your last name. He said, I'll tell you my last name. And he told him his last name, and he said, are you going to protest? He said, yes, I'm going to be there. I'm going to protest. He said, aren't you concerned? He said, you know, your friend here is concerned about it. He says, yes, I'm going to protest because see, I just believe that we can have better here. Now, you got to understand what he was laying on the line. Probably the very fact that he allowed his name to be put forth not only affected him, but as the other young man said, my dad has a good job. I don't want him to lose it. My point to you this morning is this second young man, his need, his necessity, his desire for hope was so great that he was willing to risk not only his life, but the lives of his family, their livelihood, and everything else just to make a point that there was a better way. Jim Wallace wrote in 1994, hope unbelieved is always considered nonsense. But hope believed is history in the process of being changed. You may choose to think, when I share with you from the Word this morning, you may choose to think, well, that's nonsense. Or you can choose to believe and history can be made in your life. True. The Apostle Paul says in the 5th chapter of Romans, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Is there a hallelujah in the house? Let me read it again. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what is he talking about? He's talking about the fact that because of sin, we have been estranged from God, separated from God. Sin separates us from God. Everybody that believes that, say amen. It's not just a bad feeling. It's not just an alternative way. If sin is sin, sin separates us from our God. We cannot live and be in fellowship with our God if there is sin growing and being nurtured in our lives. It cannot be. But Jesus Christ came into this world to justify us. That is, he went to court for us and he took on himself the penalty for our sin. He took it into his own body. He said, I'm going to take Greg Taylor's sin in my life. He did. He said, I'm going to take Michael Wall's sin upon my body so that when you, Father, look upon these men, you will not see the sin, but if they believe in my sacrifice, they're justified. Hallelujah. Justified. Innocent. It's amazing, isn't it? You say, oh, but I just keep on sinning. I don't want to. I work hard at not sinning, but I keep on sinning. And I look back and I realize I've sinned again. Oh, praise God. His grace is sufficient. This is exactly what Paul says. He said, through whom we have gained access by faith into grace. The fact that I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ brings me in to be seated upon the grace of the Almighty God and the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I am justified freely by His grace, not of works, nothing that I have done, but by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, I am saved. Hallelujah. We used to sing it like this. Saved by His precious blood. Saved by the glory divine. Saved. We'd sing it over and over and over again. Oh, friends, listen to me this morning. Saved is our hope. Our hope is built in Jesus' blood, in His righteousness, in His sacrifice, and not in anything else. You put your hope in politicians, you're hopeless. You're in deep, deep trouble if you are counting on a politician to bring hope to our world. I don't care how charismatic they are. I don't care what kind of promises that they make. There is no hope found in men except in the man, Jesus Christ. He says, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. It's right there in your Bibles. Through whom we, listen, we have been, well, let me start at the beginning. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Hallelujah. And you realize what he's saying there. He's saying, church, that we have position. We have standing in the place of God. By the blood of Jesus Christ, we have been given a position. This is amazing. We who are steeped in sin, full of earthiness, have been given position, standing in the presence of God. Now, lest we get all swelled up, remember that this is to His glory and by His grace. Turn to somebody next to you and say, I have standing in God. But you've got to finish it by the blood of Jesus Christ. Some of you act like you're scared to do it. Man, this is the safest place in all the world for you and I to make that proclamation. We have been commissioned by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, the one who purchased our salvation. He has commissioned us to take that message out into a dying and hurting world. If you can't say it to the person sitting next to you because you're so timid, you're in a heap of trouble, dude. Because this is a safe spot. This is where we learn and we practice. This is where we come to the knowledge of the full knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that when we walk out those back doors, we are prepared to tell the world who are searching desperately for something to put their hope in. And we can turn to them and say, I've got just what you need. I know the one, and his name's not Donald, Name one. I'll get myself in a lot of trouble. And I'm not trying to speak against our president or anything or anyone else here on this earth, but nobody brings with them the promise that Jesus brings. Hope is the desire of some good with expectation of receiving it. It's not just a wish. It's that expectation of receiving it that is the powerful part. You see, when I set my hope in Jesus, I'm not just wishing that He will forgive me of my sins and make me a place in heaven. Like Versie sang about, I got a mansion. I don't know what it's going to be like. Some translations of that word say, I got a room. I don't care. I wanted to sing a different song to you this morning, but there's part of it I couldn't reach the notes anymore. But it says, I bowed on my knees and cried, holy, holy, holy. Why? Because I searched all over heaven to find the one in whom I placed my hope, my trust in Jesus. I look forward to heaven. I want to see my grandma and my grandfather. I want to see my dad. I got people that I want to see up there. Individuals that I greatly respect. Love to sit down a little while with Paul. Come to an understanding. But I want to see Jesus. Much as I love my dad and await the opportunity to be with him and my grandparents and my aunts and uncles and my cousins up in heaven, they didn't get me there. They won't get me there. Hope in them will not get me there. It is in Jesus. I said, it is in Jesus. Because our standing in grace by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he says we have peace with God and position. That allows us to, the word there says, boast. That's what the glory is on earth. It's two different words, one for us and one for God. We get to boast. Proclaim, joyfully proclaim the hope that is before us. You see, when we come to the table of the Lord, every one of us, we should grab these elements in our hand and go, here it is. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Huh? On Christ the solid rock I stand. I have position. I have position before the Father. I have position in heaven. I have a place being prepared for me there. Not because of I'm so good, not because of what I have done, not because of anything that I have done, but because of what He did. And I believe in what He did. And I have been justified by His blood. And I'm on my way to heaven by His will, by His grace, through His love. Hallelujah! Oh, God, help us, church. If there's anything that you get focused on Jesus. Get focused on the position that you have in glory. You see, we're getting way too wrapped up in the stuff of this world, and it's not going to give you any hope. People are falling in love with singers and shows and programs and spending countless dollars and time and energy in things that for a few moments give some fulfillment. I grant you that. And a bit of happiness in the moment. But they promise you nothing for the days ahead. If my Bible is true, and I believe that it is, there's some rough days out ahead. It's going to take more than a few steps into fantasy realm to get us through. You better know the God of the universe. Now here's the second part of this. If you go on down there to verse number 3, he starts saying some things we don't like. Let's just start right off by boo Paul. Okay? Not me. Don't be mad at me. Just go ahead. Come on. Let's all be mad at Paul right now. Thank you. Look at verse 3. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. Oh. Huh? Everybody's excited about their sufferings. Just jump right on this. Tomorrow morning, 7 a.m., I get to go and be put to sleep just to take a tooth out of my head. With my teeth attached to the bones. They don't want to leave. So they got to put me to sleep tomorrow. Sometime this year, without the tender mercies of the Lord, I'll face cancer surgery. So don't sit out there and say, well, Pastor doesn't know anything about suffering. I know a thing or two. But I am learning in all things to be content and to realize I am blessed. Because I have hope in Jesus Christ. Listen to what he says. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, character hope. Ha ha. How interesting. Produce. Here's the produce hope. Suffering is trouble. To be crushed, to be pressed, to be compressed, to be squeezed in tribulation and affliction. How many understand that word firsthand? You got firsthand knowledge of some of that suffering business. Huh? Some of you haven't. Just wait. Tomorrow's another day. He says when we go into suffering, now he's talking to Christians here. He's not talking to the world. He's talking to Christians. He said, you know, try not to despise the suffering that comes into your life because what will happen is that suffering will build perseverance. Perseverance is the same word there, hupomone, which means patience, to bear up under, the endurance of things or circumstances. It means to bear up under the stuff that you're going through. We don't have to face the stuff that we're going through the way the world faces stuff. And church, this is the hope that you and I need to be preaching to the world. And may I also say, and living before the world. If they look at you when you're going through your suffering and you're just about, you're a hot mess. Just like everybody else is. Then why do they want Jesus? If on the other hand you say, you know, this is horrible what I'm going through, but I have standing. I have a place. I have position because of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am on my way to greater, better, more pure, more beautiful things that God has prepared. Hallelujah. Whew. I have an appointment with eternal blessing. Oh, some of you, didn't interest you. I understand. Just getting out of here and having another meal. That's all we care about. Listen, he says suffering leads to perseverance, perseverance to character. That is proof of the genuine. Character is the proof of what actually is in us. Do you have Christian character? Do you actually have Christ character? Are you actually proving out what is genuine through your life? Trustworthiness. Approved after trial. Man, you know, when I first got Meniere's, when I turned 40 years old and I got Meniere's, and the first attack hit me, Sharon and I were off having lunch together one day. She was at one end of the building teaching in the Christian school, and I was at the other end of the building, co-pastor of the church. And we would meet together and go have lunch together and then come back. And when we were at lunch, man, everything started spinning like crazy. First experience. I'm like, whoa, what in the world is this? And she had to drive back to the church, and I laid on the couch in my office. And for about 2 or 3 hours, you know, I was just totally out of it. I said, man, I hope that this never happens again. Well, it did about 3 more times that year. And then the next year, it happened about six, eight times. And then the next year, it happened on about at least once a month, maybe a little more than that. And then the following year, it was happening every week. So I went and had an endolymphatic shunt put in my left ear. They said, well, this will take care of your problem. And I walked out, and I was feeling great, and everything was cool. And my daughter and I were out riding bicycles together, and we're just talking along, and all of a sudden, boom, my balance, everything went, and everything was spinning, and it took me out, and I took her out. I mean, we had a crash of crashes, man. And I couldn't move. I'm sitting on the curb. I told her to ride on back to the house and let her mom know that I'm laying in the street. And then it went downhill from there. And you know, the enemy of my soul just kept saying to me, you know, give it up, give it up, give it up. You need to stop pastoring. You need to just go on disability. My doctor offered disability to me and said, you know, but I said, no, we're going to stay with it. My hope is not in what the doctors say. I'd come in and I'd stand in the back of the church while worship was going on and then hold on to the wall as I went down the edge of the sanctuary, right on up to the platform, and then grab a hold of the pulpit, a little bit smaller than this one, and grab a hold of the pulpit, and that's how I started preaching. But as the anointing of the Holy Spirit would come down on there, lift it off the other difficulties, and I'd preach on, get done preaching, walk off of the platform, and it hit me again. I had everybody praying for me that could pray. Some of them can really pray, like my mom. I was really convinced that the Lord was going to heal me at some point. And then all of a sudden, then I found myself, I couldn't drive for more than 1.5 to 2 miles, or else I would go into another Meniere's attack. Been walking through hospitals and twirl down to the ground. They'd come running thinking I had a heart attack, and it was just another Meniere's attack. When that happens, the whole world spins. You know, it's a combination of vertigo and dizziness at the same time. Yeah. Again, the doctor said, let me put you on disability. I said, no. My hope is not in what you can say. My hope is in the Lord. In 2006, had the inner ear removed. Here I am. Hey, perseverance brings character, brings hope. You say, well, you know, you were defeated by that. Absolutely not. I never missed a Sunday preaching. Never missed a person in the hospital. Never missed an opportunity to do the work of the kingdom of God. I had some tough days and nights and days and nights and days and nights. But hope. The reason I'm giving you this morning, and I realize that some of it is repetition because I've told you this before, but I want to put it into this context. You see, some of you are facing some things. You've got to have something to hang on to more than what the doctor may tell you. You got to have more to hang on to than sister such and such's or brother such and so, his prayers or her prayers. You've got to get your hope set in Jesus. The Lord, you have a way. I don't know why I'm going through this, but I'm not going to go down. I'm going to go up. I'm not going to stop loving. I'm not going to stop serving. I'm going to continue to do the work that you called me to do because I'm believing that you have better things for me in the end. Now, I could say to you, well, one of these days I'm going to have a talk with the Lord and I'm going to understand why I had to go through that in my life. But you know what? I don't care now, I don't care then, I won't care then. Because when I'm in heaven, I'm going to get everything that I came for. My hope is set in Jesus Christ. You know what, that leads me to the last point. You'll find it down in verse number 5. And hope does not disappoint us. That's what he says. Hope does not disappoint us. You set your hope in Jesus. It may not happen today. It may not happen tomorrow. It may not happen the way you think that it should happen. But let me tell you something. It will happen. If you're like me, you just spilled. I just hit my cup and spilled it. Hopefully you put yours in the rack. I'm living in hope, the hope of Jesus. I ran across a little story I think I may have told you before, but I'll share it again. This lady got a terminal illness. And so she's putting her affairs in order, and she called her pastor and said, I'd like for you to come. I want to sit down with you and go through the arrangements for my funeral. And so He went, and she sat down with him, and they started going through everything. And she said, you know, I'd like this scripture read and this song to be sung, and went through, you know, all the pieces, and, you know, be sure and give an opportunity for people to come to know Christ at the end, because that's the most important thing in life. And he prayed over her and was walking out the door, and as he just gets to the door and gets ready to leave, she goes, oh, yeah, one more thing. He said, what's that? What's the moment thing? She says, be sure that they bury me with a fork. And he turns around, he said, did I understand? What did she say? She said, yes, be sure that they bury me with a fork. He said, you'll have to explain to me why you want them to bury you with a fork. She said, well, because she said, I always loved church dinners. And she said, in church dinners, they would always say to you as you went through the meal and everything, hold on to your fork because dessert is coming. Ah. Got a fork? Hold on to your fork because dessert's coming. My Bible says, no more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain. I've written in my book, no more dizziness. Huh? No more cancers. No more heart problems. No more struggles. He doesn't say, when you get to heaven, be prepared to persevere. No more perseverance. Isn't that great? James doesn't say, count it all joy that you enter into trials, because when you get to heaven, you're going to continue to have them. No, it doesn't say that. No more trials. No more struggle. Dessert. Oh, come on. How many of you like dessert? I know some of you well enough that I know you eat dessert first. I've watched you. This one, honey, you got to wait. It's coming. It's coming. What you're going through now is momentary. It's just for a season. Hold on. Let it build character. Let it grow within you. Let it flourish and push forward hope. See, I don't know why I'm going through this, and this is horrible. I don't think I can hang on another day, but I believe that Jesus has saved me, keeps me.